But we're going to have Tono, who's one of our elders, come up here to preach. He's also our missions pastor and does work with Iglesia Risen Life. And he's going to speak to us on this one. So let me just pray for Tono, and then we will start this morning. Father, thank you for Tono, and thank you for bringing him to our church and all that he does for us as a pastor and as an elder. God, I pray that you just be with him and speak through him. Lord, give him your spirit and ability to speak really well to us this morning, God. We thank you for your life, and we are open to hear your word this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. Buenos dias en español. Yeah, it's always a privilege to get together and worship the Lord, right? And we were studying like the commandments, and this is the eighth. And when I was starting looking in my Spanish Bible, I find just two words, that is no robarás. And I was just thinking, wow, I need to put a sermon together in two words. But I opened my English Bible, and I said, yes, because I found four. You shall not steal, right? Did I say it right? You shall not steal. Can you say it with me? You shall not steal. One more time. You shall not steal. If we memorize that, we're good. We're good to go. But it's not about two or four words. This commandment is that we're going to see today. It's part of what we know that is the moral law of God, or the Ten Commandments, and also known as the Decalogue. By reading the Exodus, and we have been going through Exodus, right? And what we're reading with Exodus, we have been seeing the history of the captivity of the people of Israel. They were captive for more than 400 years. And we see how God brings freedom to them. God frees his people, and he did it with his mighty power. With signs and wonders, he displays the power of the only true God, the God of Israel, and church, our God. And when we see and we go to chapter 19 and 20, what we have been in the last weeks, we see how the Lord reminds them how he delivered them from slavery, but also makes with a covenant with them, and God gives the Ten Commandments. So if you can go with me to Exodus chapter 20, we're going to read the first couple verses there. And it says, and God spoke all those words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And we can see the verse 5 and 6. For I, the Lord your God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love, showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. We remember how Jesus was saying, right, in John 14:15, which said, if you love me, you will guard my commandments. But when we read these verses, we realize something really important. And that's why I want you to consider with me the source of the eighth commandment and also the other commandments. This is very important because it's who is giving these commandments. And we have been seeing that, and I hear, yeah, is God the one that is giving those commandments? When we receive directions, when we receive instructions or different tasks in our jobs and in our families and our houses, we give importance when we know who is the one that is giving that order or that command, right? When we know who is the one that is giving us the instructions to do it, we put an importance and a priority. Because if it's something, if it's our parents, for example, for our kids, if it's our parents that is going to give us the commands or the instructions, as kids we need to, well, our kids need to listen and put in practice, right, what it's saying. For us, when we're working with our job, when our bosses are telling us and giving instructions, we need to put attention who is the one that is giving that command. And we know here that is God, the one that's talking to us through this command. We have to think a little bit of how the people of Israel was. They were seeing how God was freeing them through signs and wonders, and also how the Egyptians were coming, you know, to them, and how God opened the sea, and then how he freed them. So they have been seeing God's power in display. They have been seeing that the only God is the one that is giving freedom to them. And in the moment that we're reading 19 and 20, the chapters there, and this picture right there, it kind of like brings a little bit of what is happening there, what the people is seeing. See, they are seeing thunders, flashes of lightning. They are hearing a sound of trumpet, and they see the mountain is mocking because the glory of God is there. So just put yourself in that place. And then that is when he is going to start giving those commands. It's not just like the things that we hear that we have to or don't have to do, but it's who is telling us. And church, this is for us this morning too. We need to know that this command that we're going to see today also help us to see who is the one that is giving us. And we're going to see also the reason why this commandment is coming to us. So the source is, this command is God. We all agree on that. And coming from him, we see in him his character. That song that we were singing is so amazing, right? And how, I don't know, in the moment of worship that when Sean was putting that song, I mean, remember, we are in the front of God. You know, we come here to worship him, and he is holy. God is holy, and it means that he is separate from everything else. He is the creator, and this is important. He is not part of the creation. John is going to say in 1 John 1:5, says, God is light and there is no darkness in him. So there is no darkness in him. He's pure. He's light. So in order to have communion with his people, or rather that the people could have communion with him, he required to people to live a holy life before him. That's for us today too. This is for everyone, and I put here in my notes, this is not just for church people, because we all need to be right with God. God told to Moses in Leviticus 19, 1 and 2, it says, speak to all congregation and all the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. So it's important for us. Like when we open God's word and we are studying these commandments, knowing that is God the one that is telling us how we can come and live before him. But the reason what he is doing is because his love. He wants communion with his people. I want you to go to Exodus 19, verse 9, 4 and 6. And it says, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all people, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6 says, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and holy nations. Those are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So we see that because he is holy, and he also is like saying that we're going to be able to be before him. I mean, it's for us, it's important to be separate for him. He called his people, they were called to be holy, to be separate, to live in obedience, and they will be a testimony of God, of who the God of Israel is. So we have been seeing, like when we're saying like he is holy, that he is separate from everything else, and that nothing, that no darkness is in him, and to be able to have communion with him, we have to follow his directions. Also, we see here that God is a relational God. He wants to have a relationship with us. But because his holiness, then is when we need to receive this call to and live holy for him, separated. And he is inviting us to have communion with him. He reminds us to these 10 commandments, how we are to call to live before him. But in our failing nature, we don't have in our own the capacity to be holy before him. And that's the other thing that we want to see this morning, is what this commandment reveals about our heart. The eighth commandment is don't steal. And this commandment is to follow God instead of our hearts, because our hearts will have always the tendency to sin. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And when we remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 15:19, she says, for out of the heart, and this is important for us to hear, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, we have been talking about those two. And then it says sexual immorality, and then theft, false witness, slander. Those are what defile a person. So the problem to be able to fulfill those commandments, we will see that we can trust our heart. Stealing is the practice of taking another person's property without his or her consent. We all know how stealing is, right? And we see in this concept that the property, this is which means like what is mine and what is yours. That's what we call the private property. And in terms of our relation with God, J. Doma in the book of the Ten Commandments says, in terms of our relations with God, we are not owners, but stewards. Strictly speaking, nothing belongs to us. But in our relations with others, we do deal with terms of his mind, of yours. God is blessing us with different things. All of us have things that come from the Lord, and all of that is for us to have. It is the privilege that we have from God. And all of us, we can agree that no one should take for themselves what belongs to other, right? This is a principle, a logical principle, but it happens. And it probably all of us have some memories. Far memories when we were kids, or close memories. And I was just trying to get some. I was praying. I said, like, when I can remember, not that we don't do it, right? Because for that, it's like it will be enough to see how many pens do we have in our houses that doesn't belong to us, right? That just goes with us everywhere. Yeah. But all of us, if we think in this, but what I don't steal, we will have memories. And I remember one. My mom has a cousin. When we were living, close to a cousin of my mom, and his son has a lot of really nice cars, little cars. I used to collect cars too. I don't know if they start there, but this guy has a lot of little cars. And then I was thinking one of the days that I was playing with him, well, he has a lot. If I take one, he probably is not gonna notice. And then I don't have, so I will take one. So I was playing with my cousin there, and then I took one of those cards. And then I just hide it, because that's what we do, right? And then I was walking home. When I was walking home, sorry guys, English is just starting to. I was starting in Spanish, and you know. So when I was walking home, I was like, with this dilemma, because I have the car, and I was like, if I get home, I'm gonna be in troubles, because I'm bringing something that doesn't belong to me. But if I go back to my cousin's or my family's house, they're gonna ask, so what are you doing here? And I will need to say, hey, I probably took something that doesn't belong to me. So I did something that, I don't know, it wasn't good, and I don't recommend this for any kid that is gonna do that. I just walk away, and I was lost for all afternoon. And my parents were like, where is, well, they call me Tonito, right? So where is Tonito? And I'm just having that car in my hands, and I'm just like, what I do dealing for, I don't know, for hours in the afternoon. And my parents were so worried where I was. So they are looking for me everywhere, so they find me. And then I needed to tell them, this is what happens. You know, I have this, that this is not mine. So we went back to the family and just give it back. And something that I blocked was the consequence of that. So I can remember what happened, but I know something happened that just helped me to understand that I don't have to do it again. So that's a good thing, because as parents, when we, and this is, I know, I hear this week some memories of some of the people that we work together, like when they were little, you know, things when they learned, I don't have to steal. Even when we were talking with Courtney, she has also experience of that. I mean, she changed too. But you know, this is something that happens, and our kids need to learn. But that's what I was saying. We have probably some far memories, and hopefully we don't have close memories of stealing something. Stealing is common in our fallen world. Simon, you know how we can do that? Know that? When you came here, you needed to close your house, right? When you park outside, you close your car. Well, at least we do that. And then there is systems, security systems. There is alarms. There is a lot of different locks. And there is like more expensive, more effective they are. You know, they are like different things, because it still is something that is common in our fallen world. Not just like, not now like just physical things, but also identities or in the internet and all the, electronical cyber things like that. That's why we have 1,000 passwords to be able to function, right? There is password for everything. And it's just because we are just trying to be secure, because this is something common. Stealing is a serious thing before God. God's law demands also restitution. And if you see with me Exodus 22, I remember we're seeing how he's giving the commandments, but later on, just a little bit after, in the chapters after, we see, and we're going to read verse 1. It says, if a man steals an ox or a sheep and kills it to sell it, he shall repay 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief is found breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there shall be no blood guilt for him. But if the sun has risen to him, there shall be blood guilt for him. He shall surely pay. Thanks for your patience with me when I read. I read like a little kid in English. But what we're seeing here is like stealing is not a good thing. You know, we know that. Stealing is not a good thing. But God is also demanding that we do restitution. And it's not just giving what we took. It's giving more. So when we see that, it's not even convenient, right? It's not convenient, because I'm taking this, and then I need to bring like 3 or 4 things more because I need to give more. So restitution is demand also in God's law. We see, if you keep reading that passage 5 times, double, or if you don't have what to pay back, you need to, when we see there, they needed to sell their lives just to see if they can pay what they stole. Stealing bring consequences. Sometimes even legal consequences. And this stealing thing it goes in 2 sides, right? The one that is steal, and the one that gets steal from. And stealing corrupts society, it changes relationships, and impacts our lives negatively. As I said, we probably have memories of something that we learned that we don't have to do it, but probably we have more memories of when it's happening to us, when somebody's taking something from us. That is really not an easy situation. I mean, it depends also, like, even if it's something like little, but if somebody that we know that is stealing from us also creating our hearts something, that is not nice. You know, as family, we had like, we were living before in Guatemala, but in the country where it's just a few houses were there. And one time we were out when we come back, our house was open and everything was taken it from us. And I remember clear because we were ready to celebrate Benjamin's birthday the next day. So that was a really hard situation. We came, our passports were gone. Music is stuff were gone. I mean, a lot of things. So we were feeling insecure. We were feeling like there are like different feelings that comes to you that this is the result of the sin that happens, right? When somebody is stole from us. But also we need to be careful with what we have been feeling, because this really make our heart to close for circumstances, for people, and this really corrupts our society. But stealing is a sin, and all sin is against God. I want to see with me Leviticus 6:1-7, and this is really interesting. When it says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, if anyone sins and commits a breach of faith against the Lord, how? By deceiving his neighbor. And later it said a matter of deposit as security or to robbery, or if he has oppressed his neighbor or has found something lost and lied about it, swearing falsely, if any of the things that people do and sin. So this is part of our fallen nature. So theft, robbery, fraud, extortion, scamming, deception, all of this is not what a generous and good God represent or intend for his creation. That's why we need to obey this commandment too, and don't steal. But why people steal, we can ask. It can be poverty, desperation, lack of employment, or because it's normal in our society, corruption. And this is when we get a little bit more deep, or greedy hearts. You know, people are saying like people that steal, sometimes they steal things that they don't need. It's just for their greedy hearts. The pressure of consumerism that make people see no other way to obtain what they want other than by stealing. This is a real thing. And this happened in our society every day. This week we were talking with Ben Sutton at the office, and just a little bit we were talking about this topic, and we had this question: what do we say to someone that apparently doesn't have any other option? And the conclusion that we have was that God answers. Because if anyone that is going through a really hard situation, right, that is going to be like, I don't have any option but steal. I mean, if you come and call God for your help, he will answer. He will answer. And we see this in the people of Israel, right? They were even like slaves there. They were suffering, and they called God, and he came to free them. So in any situation, we can call to him, and he will answer. So when the desire of steal is in me, I am showing that I'm not grateful for God's provision for my life. I want to read two verses in 1 Timothy 6:8. Says, but we have food or clothing, with this we will be content. And James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift come from above. So for us, we know, and this is for everybody, God is the one that is giving everything for us. So every good thing is from him. So in the moment that we decide to steal, right, we're not being happy for God's provision in our lives. That's why I wanted to say this. I mean, this command really talks about also our hearts. Our hearts needs to be transformed. And here is why we need the gospel. Because we need a change from the inside out. And this can be just a divine transformation. And that's why we need Jesus. So at this point, if you want to be practical in this, and it's like the commandment is don't steal, the commandment for applying today is don't steal. Right? That's the thing. But as Christians, we can take this a little bit more, right? and help me here. What is the opposite to taking? It's giving, right? If you see in Ephesians 4:28, it says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he might have something to share with anyone in need. So this verse, this section of the Bible is like talking about the new life in Christ. And see, now we are in the New Testament, and it's telling that, again, like stealing is not a good thing. But if you are in Christ now, and this is what Paul is saying, like you're learning from him, you're being transformed. So if there is something that is still, don't steal no more. Rather, work with his hands, so that might have something to share with the other in need. So this is calling us to be also a generous people, right? Work is God's way for provision. God will provide an abundance that we will be able to help others and help what God is calling us to help. So don't steal in, but our life is different now. And in Christ, we can work to satisfy through him, right, our needs, but also help the ones that are in need. Remember, we just said that God answers. And God will use us also to help people that are in need. Let's don't close our hearts. Let's live a generous life. And let's be people that with our lives, we show the world how God has been doing in our lives. So I can bring like a list of, hey, church, we don't have to be stealing in this and this and this and this. But I feel like this is a commandment that we are probably learned when we were little, as my case or a lot of different cases, that this is not something good and it's not good to steal. But also we need to know that there is like different ways during our lives that we will find ourselves like in the moments where we need to be honest, when we need to declare, when we need to do all those things, and we need to get this principle and this commandment to our lives too. Jesus submit the law and the prophets in two commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So if we love God and we know him, we will obey him, including this commandment. As a consequence, also, we will love our neighbor, and we're not going to do anything against our neighbor that is going to create a situation. Romans 13 says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other command are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not wrong to the neighbor. See, if you love God, and if you love your neighbor, you're not going to do this. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I will invite the band to come up, and I will tell you this story. We were having an event in Guatemala, an evangelistic event, and we have missionaries coming, and you know, in those events, like we use equipment and things like that. So we saw two gang members coming to the event, and Through the service, the Holy Spirit was touching those lives. And those lives were like, they were coming to this event to do something. They want to steal from people. They want to do things, because we knew that later. But in the moment that they were in there, God's presence just touched them and transformed them. And they needed to come to Jesus. And then I remember that, because when we finished this event and we were talking to them, they were there telling us, yeah, we came here with plans to steal from you guys. But and then God transformed them. And this is what I see in this commandments that we have been seeing. As I said since the beginning, if you get this, like, don't steal, that's what God wants intended for us, right? To learn. But more than anything, I feel like probably stealing is not what we're sinning in. But when we see the commandments, is just telling us the relationship with God and the relationship with others. And what we can do, because as we were saying, when we see our heart, from our heart is when all those things come. And we need Jesus. That's why we need the gospel. That was we need to come to him. And as these friends that I tell you, their names were Douglas and Luis, and they came and they find Jesus, their lives were transformed. They didn't steal anymore. And they changed their lives. And that's the invitation that we can see through these commandments to us. Remember, we were talking today, who is the one that is giving those commandments to us? But he is doing it because he is holy and he wants to have a relationship with us. So he is giving those commandments for us to be able to live a perfect, a holy life before him. But we cannot do that because our heart, we saw this morning also, and our heart is where everything comes out. That's why we need to be transformed in Christ. So probably it's not a stealing, but probably there is other sin in our lives. The invitation today is to come to Jesus. God is holy, and he is inviting us to have communion with him. But because his holiness and because our sin, is necessary that we live a holy life before him. And this can be just possible through Jesus. When we remember Jesus Christ and the cross in Luke 23, there were two other being sacrificed with him, and they were thieves. One was like saying things to him, if you are the Son of God, just free you and free us. And the other one is like telling that even when you know that you are getting punished what you did, and then he repent, and you know the story, he repent and God saved him. So I think for us, if we're struggling with something, with sin in our hearts, probably not stealing, but it's something else, the invitation is the same. Let's come to Jesus. He's the only one that can transform our hearts where all those things come, and he can give us a new heart, a new spirit that will be obeying him. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, when we talk about those things and these commandments, Lord, this one is clear. And since the beginning, we know the commandment for us is don't steal. But Lord, this also is telling us that we need you because our heart has those desires, have those greediness, have those situations that are going to come to our lives, Lord. But you are the one that is through your spirit helping us to obey your word. Lord, and I pray that as we come today, Lord, to you, that you forgive us for our sins, that you can give us freedom, and that we can see that those commandments for us is just showing us your love for us, that you want to have communion with the people, but the people needs to be in a perfect relationship to you. And that's why Christ is for us. That's what he did. And thank you, because through him, we can come to you, Lord. Forgive us and give us, Lord, more of your spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.